Your relationship with God is not based on what you are doing. Or his love for you, rather, is not based on what you're doing or you're failing to do or anything else. But rather, his love to you is unconditional. That means it's not how loud you cry or how much you give or how much you do that will make God say, oh, I love you. He loves you already. But the thing for you to know is like it's based on your understanding of his love towards you that will determine what you do in that direction. We're in a position and a time in our life that we need to begin to appreciate the whole concept of forgiveness. If you do not understand the forgiveness of God towards you, you find it difficult to forgive yourself and to forgive your neighbor, because you do not understand what God has done in your life. This is the season, and I believe in my heart, when we do not just read the word of God literally, but we try as much as possible to have an understanding of what God is saying. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, does not mean God will revenge on your behalf the way you want him to. He can do it in any way that he wants. I'm a consuming fire does not mean he will spit fire out arbitrarily and consume anybody. The prophet of old regarded himself as servants of God. And being a servant, all they did was according to what God told them to do. They did, without thinking too much about it. And when they introduced God to you and I, it was like, he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord the provider. He's a consuming fire, the Lord's Abana, he's the warrior, he's a man of war, and all kind of strange names, which incidentally were true. But when his son came, and was going to introduce God, guess what he said? He's your father. By simply saying that, he's making you understand that you are not a servant of God any longer, but you're a son and daughter of the living God. Your status changed the day Jesus said, it is finished. You're a son, you're a daughter of God who has the boldness by the blood of Jesus to enter the throne room of the Father without fear and trembling as unnecessary, and ask, and you're able to receive. It's not based on circumstances around you, but rather based on what God has done already in your life. And I'm hoping that we'll come to the point of understanding that our coming together is not just to ask God for things arbitrarily, but it's coming with a conscience that knows that last week may have been one way or the other, but this week it's going to be better for me. It's coming with the confidence of knowing that he has seen me through. Though I've been through the valley of the shadow of darkness, but I fear no evil, because I know God is with me. But finding out that God is with you is what is important. And my prayer is that you and I will figure it out who God is. To whom that you believe, you obey. And whoever you obey has full control of your life. What you believe, your perception will determine what you do. If you perceive wrongly, you will act wrongly. If you believe in darkness, you will act in darkness. If you believe in light and walk in the light, not only will you think about fellowship with one another, but you also understand that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all manner of sin. If you understand what Jesus came to do, you will know that he has come to talk to you about what you're capable of doing in him. What he has come to do is to teach you and I that we are being reconciled or back onto the Father because he loves us. Not what you do or anything, it's just he loves you, and obey him and go with him. He's not come to scare you with hell, but he has come to give you confidence that not only will you make heaven, but heaven will catch up with you here on earth, and shall be so indeed in Jesus' name. So therefore this morning, I speak to myself, and for as many that may be here also, equally saying, there must be more to God than all of this. There must be more I can do with God than all of this. There must be doors that can open to me than these doors. There must be doors that can shut than these doors that are open. For a minute, I just want to speak to God and tell him that, Lord, let your word that dasheth into pieces, let your word that builds, let your word that calls those things that are not as if they were, let it locate me this morning. Let it revive me. Let it cause a change in my life in the name of Jesus. When I talk to you for a minute, say, let your word be a solution. Let your word this morning be an answer to my prayer. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. This morning, I want to share a word with you, something that kept me awake today. Now, for those who have been long enough here with me, I'm not going to tell you that God woke me up in the middle of the night and had a conversation with me while we were having coffee. No, I don't do that. I don't even know how it's done. But at least one thing I know is when God wants to speak, as it does to many of us, when you're not cognizant of what is going on, you think that you woke up just to take a pee and go back to bed, or probably to raid the fridge. Maybe God just has something to say to you. And I believe he has something to say to us. And this is something that I will gladly and confidently say. It was just a small discussion that I was having with our maker, my maker, your maker. And I hope it makes sense to you. Perhaps it's just a word for me. Perhaps it's a word for a couple of us in here. But I just want you and I, just for the next few minutes, to flow along with this. It's titled, Word Mixed with Faith. Say that with me. Word Mixed with Faith. Hebrews chapter 4, from verse 1 to 3. Just look up, and we'll just read together, right? I'll read to you. It says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, and any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit. Everybody say profit. Profit them, not being mixed in with faith in them that heard it. Verse 3 now says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, dangerous, if they shall not enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 2 is where I'm really going. It said the gospel was preached to a group of people. This is talking about the children of Israel, actually, when they were going through the wilderness. It said the gospel that was preached to them then, the same gospel has been preached unto us now. But it said the word that they had did not profit them. In other words, they were given something that could be beneficial to them. Something that will turn their life around. But it didn't make too much sense to them. It didn't profit them. Because the word was not mixed with faith in them. Faith is talking about having a new set of belief beyond that which you're used to already. And because of that, they did not enter into God's rest. Now, the irony of the matter was that for 40 years, a people that were supposed to enter God's promise were wandering in the wilderness and dying like flies. But in the midst of it, God being merciful, you know what was strange? They didn't fight any battle with anybody. Their clothes did not wear out. Their sandals did not wear out. Their feet did not swell. The pillar of cloud followed them by day to provide shade. Pillar of fire to provide heat by night. Manna fell from heaven. Quail came. And there was water. So they were experiencing God's blessing on a daily basis. But because of the blessing that they were experiencing, they missed out on something better for them in another place. So in the wandering, they were singing Hosanna, Hallelujah, for a blessing that was less than what God had in mind for them. May you and I not wander in the wilderness of permissive blessing in Jesus' name. This was simply because they did not mix the word with faith. They faced challenges and they could not go through with it. And that caused a whole problem for them. This morning, let me talk to you briefly about belief system. When we're talking about beliefs, we're talking about the conditioned perception that are built upon old memories of pain and pleasure. You see, by attaching ourselves to people, to situations from our past circumstances, we are effectively building a belief system. Now, what does all this grammar mean? It's simply saying that based on the things that have happened to you in the past, based on the experiences you've had in the past, will form the way of your thinking. Be it something pleasurable, be it something painful. It's a combination of all of those things that will determine the way that you think. Now, moving forward, what are the things that we call beliefs? We're talking about belief system, just simply saying the way you mean. What are beliefs? Beliefs, in some way, they're assumptions that we make. And it's important you understand this. Assumptions that we make about yourself, about other people, about circumstances, and our expectation of how the world is meant to be. Now, the strange thing is this. We all have ideas or ideals or theories of how things are meant to be compared to the way things are currently. Likewise, we make this conclusion based on our belief system, what we think people ought to be doing and what they ought not to be doing. And we try to make sense of the things around us based on a belief system that we have in ourselves. Now, belief also is the foundation of our expectation. Now, when we're talking about believing something, whatever you believe, you expect what you believe to come to pass. Whatever you believe is what you know will come to pass. And that's just simply it. And it has a way of affecting the things that you do. Now, you see, belief also is nothing other than the conclusion that you have drawn from your childhood. Now, what do you mean by conclusion that you've drawn from your childhood? As you grow up, I'm actually looking at kids. Kids, when they begin to grow up, they know nothing. Everything that they know is based on the things that are surrounding them, based on what their parents tell them, based on the things that are going on, and they begin to form a belief system. In our family, we don't do this. In our family, we do that. This is the way you do it. That's not the way you do it. When we're greeting elders, you prostrate. When you're not greeting elders, you use left hand, you use right hand, you give them headbutts, whatever. It's based on the cultural belief, the traditions, and this in itself is what you begin to believe in and you begin to grow in it. Now, some of us believed in those things in the beginning. But as you grow up, suddenly you realize that the things you used to believe in the past does not work for you now. That even when you try to activate those belief systems, even now, you know that there's a conflict and you're kind of stuck in the middle, that there's something wrong with this whole setup. But because it's what you believe in from the beginning, you are stuck with it because you are afraid of stepping out from what you've always believed in. Let me give you an example. Many of us, well, a few of us here, grew up by understanding that our parents' demonstration of love is through the staff of correction. I hope you understand what I just mean by that. Okay, maybe you don't know. We're talking about, you are caned. You do something wrong, they came. You say, I'm beating you so that you can be better. I know I love you. This is going to hurt me as much as it's going to hurt you, and you get smacked. In this current time, even though you are brought up by being caned for everything that you do, but it's not as common as it used to be in those days that for everything a child does, you smack. Now we're developing a new belief system that there must be other ways of correcting the child. Yes, sometimes it gets laying of hands, but there are other times that you talk and you communicate with the kid more effectively than you used to do in the past. I guarantee you this, any parent who chooses to raise his or her child the way he was raised in those days is going to be called abuse today, and you're going to end up in jail. I guarantee you. But one thing is needful. The idea of bringing discipline to the child is still the same, but the methodology has changed. How many of you, when you were growing up, had a phone? Even your father didn't even have a phone. Talk less of you. But today, our kids have phone. Even if you want to give them phone, you end up seeking them the phone. Our belief system in the old was that when the child is going to school, you trust God that the child will go well and come back well. In this day, your child goes, when it's time to come back, you pick up and say, my friend, where are you? I'm on the bus. Where's the bus? And your colleague Jackie comes into the house. Now, what's happening now is like, things have changed. The belief system has changed. Now, moving forward, when we're talking about all of these beliefs, there's need to know that when you constantly think of something and it becomes a part of you, not only becomes an opinion, but then it becomes a way of thinking. Whichever way that you grew up thinking will affect you in the way that you do things in this day. Now, there are things that I call the strength of your belief, the way that you are brought up and your belief system. It has its own strength. Now, when we're talking about strength, your belief determines what you believe, your belief system, right? It determines the questions that you ask yourself throughout the whole day. If you grew up with the belief system saying that, the world is a wicked place, that the people around you will want to abuse you and cheat you and do all manner of things, and you grew up with that belief system, every day you are suspicious of the people around you, because that is the belief system that you have. If you have a belief system that while you're growing up in the church, you say, the devil is after you, he wants you to attack you, he doesn't want you to make progress, anything that you do, he will come after you because he knows God wants to bless you. Each time you're doing anything that is meaningful, your mind will always be there that the devil is waiting to snatch it from you. And because of that, the questions you begin to ask when things are not going the way you want will be, where have I sinned? What kind of sin is in my life? When did I allow the devil to come in? It must be the devil that is doing it. Lord, show me where the devil is coming in. Because of your belief system that you have, it will determine the kind of questions that you ask yourself. And now the strange thing is this. The question that you ask and how you ask it could either be helpful or it might not help you. And because of that belief system, especially if it's negative, you stop thinking critically and creatively because you always feel there's somebody that is against you. That's why you're not making progress. As a matter of fact, it's because of what your great-grandmother did. That's why you're not making any progress today. But one thing I know for sure is this. By the reason of the blood of the Lamb, Every handwriting of ordinances against us has been blotted out by the blood of the Lamb. There's no costless cost that's against you anymore. That generational cost that you believed in for so long is nothing, because you have what we call generational blessing in Christ Jesus. Another thing about your belief system, or your belief, it determines the way you feel about yourself, how you feel about others, and how you feel about events and circumstances in your life. So not only does it determine the questions you tend to ask, but your feeling, the way you feel about yourself, the way you feel about other people, the way you feel about circumstances and events around you. Oh, it's because of this, that's why he did that. It's because of, and you just begin to think in a particular fashion that goes. There are a group of people that, based on their tradition, they believe that they are good witches and bad witches, white witches and black witches. And in the process, they always believe that the white witches will always overcome the dark witches. And then when they became born again, they transferred the same belief system into the church, believing that Christ is the new white witch. And the devil is the old black witch. And the pastor is the priest that must prophesy and say. And when the pastor does not prophesy, just say, this one is not powerful, Jerry. Why? Because their belief system is that there must be a prophet that will prophesy what the witch wants to do to you. It's that same belief system that some people have hijacked and tell you that when you burn 7 candles and drink holy water and hold this and hold that, everything that's against you will go away. That same old belief system. All it does is just change what's on top, but it's still the same belief system that is pushing you forward. It's that belief system that the whole ministry now uses, that anything that happens, you pray like crazy because the enemy is destroying you. I remember I shared this before. My brother-in-law, about 3-4 years back, he's in the UK, so they got into the new year before us. So he now called me, 6 hours. And I said, Kevin, this is new year. Happy New Year. I said, we're still in the old year. So how is it over? I said, it's good. But I said, something happened in church. I said, what happened? He said, as we're ending the old year, we pray that every enemy that will not let us succeed, Father, kill them. Kill them. Don't let them enter the new year with us. I said, well, it makes sense. They did that. After they said, Happy New Year, Happy New Year. I said, okay, the first prayer point. You are going to pray. Everything that will not let you succeed in this year, Father, destroy. I said, wait a minute. Just a few minutes ago, we pray that the things that will not let us enter the new year kill. How did they slip into the new year that all of a sudden we are going to pray that everything that will not let us succeed in this year destroy? What's the matter? I said, well, good luck to you, boy. Anything you like, you do. But that's the belief system that is going on in there. So your belief system has a way of affecting the way you feel about yourself, about other people, about circumstances that are around you, and always. It also has a way of determining the choices that you make. Your belief system, likewise, will determine what you will try and what you will not try. Because if you believe that you cannot succeed, how well will you try? Will you try? If already you know you cannot succeed, will you even try? The person that believes in the good old adage, a bird in hand is what two in the bush. Do you know what he's saying? It's such a limiting belief, saying that keep what you have. Don't make an attempt to go for something else in the place of the unknown. But that's not what faith teaches us. I will put the bird in hand in the cage and go into the bush and look for something else. If there's nothing, I come back and carry the one in the cage. A belief system that makes you just stationary. It has been in our life, so shall it be, and forevermore. Amen. For sons and daughters of God that come to the place of faith, do you understand what you're trying to do? If your belief system is simply saying that I believe only in what I see, what are you praying about? If everything that happens around you has got to do with the devil and his demons and all of those things, what are you doing with God? If you believe the devil is strong, and you know that, and this is something I find strange for me. Do you know that many people know the hierarchy of the kingdom of Satan? Are you aware of that? You don't know that, and that's good for you. I heard about spiritual wickedness in high places. You heard about Prince of Darkness and all those things. Some people know that by heart. And I'm saying, even me, I don't even know it again. But tell them to talk about the hierarchy of the kingdom of God. You say, we know there's Angel Michael, Angel Gabriel, Angel Uriel, Angel Jack, Angel this. I am looking at them. Where did you get all those things from? But the truth of the matter is, like, if you really listen, there's a belief system that is skewed. And now, based on the beliefs, will now determine what you do and what you not do, and the kind of goals that you set for yourself. Now, having said that, based on your belief system, sometimes you have what we call limiting beliefs. What are the things that we call limiting beliefs? When you're faced with circumstances or challenges that do not appear that you can do, that does not conform with your belief system, what you ask, how you feel, what you do will be the determining factor of what kind of belief system you're running and how it is limiting you. Now, on the screen there, you're seeing some questions that you may ask yourself when you're faced with challenges. When you're faced with things that you're not used to. When you're asked to leave the bird in hand and go into the bush, and you're looking at the bush and say, this bush is too thick. You've not been there before. You're wondering, will I go into that place? Children of Israel got to the place of promise. They went in, they came back and began to talk about strange things because of the belief system that they had. The children of Israel had been slaves for so long that when it came to time for them to become kings, their belief system was still in slavery. That they said, we are like grasshoppers. And so are we in the sight of those people over there. So their belief system just held them limited. So when you're faced with challenges, when you're faced with obstacles, when you're faced with things that appear bigger than you, do you make excuses why you will not do it? I don't have time. That's not for me. I know God has not called me to that. Or do you complain about those things? Perhaps you indulge yourself in all the negative thoughts. Look for an excuse why you will not do it. It says, bless them that curse you. And say, I don't know what he said. I will turn it back to sender. When you talk to yourself in limiting and unhelpful ways, when you tell yourself and find an excuse and a reason why you will not do it, your belief system is skewed already. When you jump to unnecessary conclusion or make unnecessary assumption, that could be a problem. This could happen. Maybe it has happened to you, but at least I know it has happened to me. Have you ever found yourself in a situation whereby somebody walked past you without saying hello to you? And then you begin to wonder that he's so proud. So is he going to say he didn't see me? I just walked past and I didn't say anything. For all you care, the guy did not really see you. Because what is on that guy's mind is bigger than you. That's why I didn't say him. It didn't mean any harm, but he just did not see you. And you begin to hold that in your mind that he disrespected me, he did this, he did that. No. You are making wrong conclusion. I remember one of my friends in Jamaica then. We call him Elder. The guy was so into African tradition that he does not believe that anybody who is younger than him can stretch hand to him and shake him. And he believes that he must prostrate or kneel down before him. Now, this is a good thing. For those of us who are in Nigeria, apart from me, because I'm the pastor, so he doesn't allow me to prostrate for him. I say, thank you, sir. But I still bow down to him. Every other person must say, yes, sir. Amen. Where did Jamaicans came? Just, hey, brother, are you a new father? Hey, come on, what? Come on, you're prostrate. I know that. This is Jamaican. I said, no, they don't have any sense of respect. How can I not be shaking my hand? I said, they will deport you. Belief system. When you hesitate, when you're supposed to do something, I will express unnecessary fear. You can do better than that. Look, this is the one that we know. Let us stay here. Don't let us change anything now. If it's not broken, why do you want to fix it now? This one works. Let's leave it alone the way it is. worry about failure or about making mistakes. Is anybody aware that the road to success is laced with failure? Are you aware of that? To succeed, you must have failed. And it's a failure that makes the success even sweeter. But you don't want to fail. Let me stay with what I know. Don't let me make an attempt to do something, lest I fail. I don't know what people to say anything. When you begin to worry uncontrollably for no apparent reason, your child goes to school, and all you're doing day in, day out, you're praying and banging and losing till the child comes back and you're so exhausted when the child, and the child goes, what's the matter with you? Or all that goes through your mind is that your child is the only child that they're going to attack. Something's going to, what is the matter with you? You are driving on a long journey and you are saying all the demons in front, Father, destroy, kill. Oh, you think they followed you from Africa down here? That you're praying about all those things. What's the matter with you? But when you worry uncontrollably for no apparent reason, how about procrastinating? Because you're making excuses. Your belief system says you can't do it. So you look for a reason why you should not do it. Why you should not make any change. Why you should not improve yourself. Say, at least it's safe here. Let me stay in the safe area. And of course, when you think about indulging yourself in perfectionism, you want to be perfect in all things. It's not happening. You can't be perfect in all things, but that is where problem starts. When you just want to be sure that you are perfect in all things. No, it doesn't go like that. Folks, limiting beliefs is what we call doubt. Limiting beliefs is what tells you you cannot do it. When, in all honesty, with Christ, all things are possible. So, to overcome limiting belief and your belief system comes from the whole concept of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, if you have a belief system that has been in you for so long, you grew up with that belief system, but you suddenly realize that in Christ Jesus things to change, but it's too fantastic for you to believe. Why would I turn my cheek to the other side when you are slapped one side? Why should I pray for them that despitefully use me and persecute me? Why should I bless them that curse me? Why should I go to somebody that is offended with me? After all, it was his fault now. Why? But you don't understand that in the kingdom of God, things are a little bit different. Sorry, a great deal different. When we're talking about having faith to overcome a limiting belief, it's not when we're in church to behave like angels, but we can use those same things outside to change a limiting belief system. Because in Christ, all things pass away and all things must and indeed do become new. So when we're talking about faith, faith is simply saying that you desperately want to believe in something different. When you definitely want to believe and desperately want to believe in something and ignoring the evidence and the facts that surround you, instead you're saying that I'm going to use my imagination to help me think better than what I've always believed, you're on the path of faith. You know, we say that faith is the substance of things hoped for. When you hope for something, can you see it? No, but when you say the substance of things hoped for, it means that in your inner eye, you can see yourself succeeding. How many of you believe that you will fail here? If you are here, we're going to pray for you very quickly. Okay. How many of you believe you will succeed in life? In fact, I use my leg too. Now, if you intend to succeed, you need to move by faith. If you have to travel, if you have to fly, if you have to go to, let's assume you have to go to Nigeria. Tell me the ways that you can get to Nigeria. Huh? By what? By plane? Who said boat? Which boat? Canoe or sailboat? I don't know which ship goes to Nigeria from here. Right? Oh, cargo ship. Good luck. Now, this is what I'm trying to say. If you have to get there, yeah, you have the choice of going on a cargo ship. But if you're afraid of the ocean, which one do you think is safer for you to fly in? I'm to go in. The ship? or the flight. If you're afraid of water, you go on the ship, I guarantee you, every day you'll be looking at that water, and you'll see mommy water and all kinds of strange things in there. I went on a cruise. I was so confident of nothing. Unfortunately for me, the room I was, the window, I could be looking at the water. At night, I was looking. Pastor Kevin was saying, maybe there is mommy truly. Hey, what did I say there? Is it a mommy? I said, something's wrong with my mind. Because I just felt that, so can sink. If it sinks, I can't show you this water. All kinds of strange things are going through my mind. I could not sleep because I was thinking too much. Now, what am I saying here? By faith, you begin to imagine yourself going to where you're going, and you do what you need to do to get there. So, you see, as I begin to round up, this is the thing I want you to consider. When it talks about mixing the word with faith, we're simply making a reference to something that you and I need to begin to do. We hear the word of God. All manner of people tell you the word of God, but somehow you're not able to mix that word with faith in your heart. Yes, I believe that God can do it, but it's not for me. I believe with God all things are possible. I know God will do it, but you're doing absolutely nothing to project what you believe in. Everything in front of you says no. You say, well, maybe it's not yet time. Let me do something else. Who said so? If it's time for you, it's time for you. You do what you have to do, and God will back you up. If you don't step in the judgment is not going to part for you. And this, I'm begging you, I'm begging myself too, that when you're faced with obstacles, you're faced with challenges ahead of you. Don't make excuses. And we're expert at making excuses why we cannot do it. No disrespect to anybody, okay? So don't feel disrespected or dishonored. Monday to Friday, not only do we prepare the kids for school and go to work, we get to work on time. On Sunday, it's difficult to get to church on time because we have to take care, wake up the kids and everything. Excuses. When you say, you can do this thing, go ahead and do it, you begin to complain about how hard it is, how I don't have time to do it, and blah, 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 blah. Who said so? Excuses, because you don't just want to do it. When you indulge yourself in negative thoughts, you begin to think of everything that will not make it work. Those who are close enough to me know that the challenges that we have, when they begin to tell me about why they don't want to do something, I begin to talk about why they can do it. I'm not saying you cannot do it, but when you are so engrossed and looking for every excuse why you will not do it, you end up not doing anything. And that's why we're talking about the kind of questions you have for yourself, the way you feel about yourself and other people. If your belief system is skewed into seeing failure, you will talk in failure. No, it's okay to explain that things are difficult, but I know that with God, all things are possible. I've had testimonies of people who did not know that God has gone ahead of them to prepare a way. All they did was just, okay, let me try it. And they're like, come, we've been waiting for you. The doors that were about to shut, because of them, the door remained open for an extra week, and they walked into it, and they grabbed it. Sons and daughters of God, it's time for us to walk by faith. Don't let us just mount those things. Don't make excuses. Don't jump to the wrong conclusion. He doesn't like me. That's why he doesn't talk to me. He likes cussing too much. He doesn't like, no, those are baby stuff. We're better than that now. Right? I mean, don't say because you don't want to fail, you'll not even take a step to do what you have to do. No, you're lying to yourself. Faith tells you that after you have done everything and expressed everything that you know in this side of light, you are ready to step into the place of the darkness of unknown, knowing fully well that either wings or a platform will be provided for you when you go to the other side. Faith is saying, I know with God I can do it, and you move forward. Faith is saying, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it, and I'm doing something about it. As sons and daughters of God, I want you to begin to exercise the faith that God has given unto us. However, I'm aware of this. Nobody. After you've already drank the old wine, we straight away desire the new. Because the one that we tried and tested is better than the one we never tried and tested. But I want you to know, if some people did not think about making what was old to be better, many of us would not be standing where we're standing today. I'm sure many of you remember when the first cell phone came into the market. The first cell phone was like a weapon. One huge stuff like that. The one that carried around said, I have a mobile phone. And then the other one has a handbag that carries around and said, this is my not night not. Right? It carried that thing. That's a cell phone. Those guys were hip. But today, your phone can do all kind of strange things. I think earlier on today or yesterday we were talking about the TV. We were looking at the remote control. I said, what kind of remote control is this? A new TV, the remote control was like garbage. But what did they say? Download the remote control onto your phone. I said, oh, now the phone is also a remote control. Now, somebody is thinking and they're innovating, making it better. You are sons of God, you can make it better. You can innovate also, you can begin to think of being better. So this morning, I want you to do something for me, if you can. I want you to begin to think of what type of belief system that you have. If you're still thinking that you cannot do it, you probably not do anything. If you're not a risk taker, you don't understand what faith is all about. If you rather stay in the tradition of old, you don't understand that God is not a traditionalist. And because you're in the tradition of old, I hope you know that God called Abraham out of tradition. Do you know that? He said, come out of your people, from your father's house and from your kindred, and I'll show you a land. God called him out. For those who are going somewhere, God is asking you to break away from tradition. If I choose to say hallelujah twice, don't tell me you should say it 3 times or 7 times, because 7 is the number of perfection. No, don't tell me that. But what's more important is for you to understand that there's something that we call faith operational. I'm talking too much today because I may not have the opportunity to talk about belief system anymore. But somehow I realize that the biggest challenge that we have is our belief system. There's something wrong with it. We hold the very oracle of life in our hands. Even Jesus in those days was surprised. Those from the outside, they're benefiting from this thing. But the children of Abraham are going to the gallows. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Do you know, you don't have to be a Christian to be rich. Are you aware of that? For you to be exceedingly rich, you don't have to be born again and speaking in tongues. I hope you know that. Those guys need some principle. And they live by those principles. You pay tithe, no. You reorganize the whole thing. Why God will understand that? 9%, you will understand that after all it's 9. No, he doesn't understand. You're a thief. Give. No. God will understand. I mean, I can't give to that. It's okay. Nobody's forcing you. But one thing I know is this. God has the principles that you and I can learn from. What we have as sons and daughters of God is like, he who gave the principle is our Father and is willing to communicate those principles to us. The reason why you all came to church today is beyond anybody that is your enemy. It's because you can be better. And what you're hearing today is asking to please change your belief system. Make an effort to be better than you were yesterday. I'm not asking to compete with anybody, but you make up your minds, I will be better than I was yesterday. Ask God, increase my faith. Help me to go to a higher level of existence. Help me to see what you're doing. And for those of you that know that the devil's after your family, enough. Begin to see what God is doing in your life. If you catch yourself when things are going wrong and say, I'm under attack, what is the matter with you? Not only you. No, stop saying I'm under attack. I'm under blessings of the Lord. Be able to say to your, stop talk honestly, and I mean this, stop saying you're under attack. Who's attacking you? No, seriously, think about who is attacking you. Yesterday it was the devil. Tomorrow it was demons. The day after tomorrow it's your grandmother. It's always your mother-in-law. I don't even know why. But you're always under attack. Stop it. No. You're under generational blessings, and behave like someone that knows that you're blessed and highly favored already. I repeat to you once again, curses everyone that hangs upon the tree. Christ has made a curse for you and I. And by the reason of his blood, every handwriting of ordinance against us has been blotted out by the blood of the Lamb. Starting from today, God will turn your labor into joyful labor in Jesus' name. For as many of you that are helping build the economy of Egypt, God will help you to build your own economy also in Jesus' name. For as many that are in here that they labor from morning to night, and they're asking themselves, what kind of life is this? All I do is walk, sleep, and walk. I don't know about you, but I still believe in my own heart. And one way or another, even with the small pay I get, I know one day I'm going to own a yacht. Right? Amen. Amen. It's me that believe it. You don't have to believe with me, but I know how I'm going to own the yacht, I don't know yet, but one way or another, God will organize it. Because I'm saying that here we are, we're in church, trusting God for pay the next bill. And some people are in Florida fishing, having fun. Who said we cannot have that kind of fun and still praise God in the middle of the Atlantic? Who said we cannot? We're sons and daughters of the living God. I mean, we need to begin to behave like that. Let's love one another. Let's express the true love for one another. Let us not unnecessarily see negativity in one another, but rather let's see the positivity. For you as a son of God, walk by faith and not by sight. Speak words of success to yourself and not failure. Even when things are wrong, know that they are wrong for a little time, but things can get better. Say to yourself, all things work together for my good because I love God and I've been called according to his good purpose. If the Bible says I shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory, if it doesn't supply, it's not your need. That's why it didn't supply it. Look at making it work, not thinking about what does not make it work. See the strength in you. Celebrate the strength in you, not just the weakness in you. And stop giving the devil ideas. And what do I mean by that? Some of you say some things that the devil made you do it. The devil said, I wasn't even there. So how can he say it was me that did it? And some of you say, oh, I didn't know I could even do that. Okay, good idea. Give me a good idea of what I can do now. No, stop it. And we need to tone down that devil noise and turn up God's voice in your life. God is your refuge. God is your strength. He's your very present help in times of trouble. Let us pray.